Welcome back to Kettlebells and Cocktails and another edition of The Weekly Buzz. I am joined by Joe Jenatin Poava from The Morning Chaka. How's it going, Joe?
Good, Nikki. Great to be here. Happy to see you after a week of not recording.
Yeah, we had a bye week. That's what that's what the folks in sports call it, right?
Yeah, we had a bye. Yeah.
A little bit of a bye week, and it, of course, was right smack dab during some of the biggest CrossFit Games news that we've received in a while. So I think we should start there. Joe, as a reminder, is going to round up some of the latest, greatest headlines from the Morning Chalk Up this past week. But I do want to start with what has been going on in the world of CrossFit Games news.
Yeah, let's start there. It was a big announcement a week ago that the age group and adaptive divisions will be moved out from the CrossFit Games at the end of the season. So in other words, spun off into their own end of season events. Some details related to that, the masters and teens will follow the normal season trajectory as they have over the past several years of the open, quarterfinals, and semifinals. And then the legends for the masters and the pit teen throwdown for the teens will handle the end of season competition. On the adaptive side, Wheelwad is going to handle the season from the adaptive open all the way through from the Wheelwad open all the way through the Wheelwad games at the end of the season.
So we don't necessarily, tell me if this is right or wrong, we don't necessarily know what that means yet timing wise, right? Like for example, Wheelwad is gonna really handle all of the adaptive events from qualifier through to the end of competition. But like right now, the Wheelwad games is in November, I think. And we don't necessarily know if everything is going to stay status quo or if they're going to shift to be more along the normal timeline of the elites. Like that's just a question that hasn't been answered yet, correct?
We don't. A couple of big things that we don't know. Timing is obviously the big one. And location. Obviously, the pit teen throwdown will take place at the Pit Fitness Ranch in Three Rivers, Michigan. But the Legends and Wheelwad games, we don't know where as of yet.
So I'm just going to say that we called it, right? No, not necessarily. That's not fair. We had the idea.
This was maybe not the best kept secret in CrossFit, but we did talk about it weeks ago as a possibility. Over the past week, we got a chance at the Morning Chalk Up to talk with a contingent of coaches, former games athletes, games winners, podium athletes, and things like that to get some different opinions. I will mention that the organizers for these end of season events kind of had a week of, I don't want to call it a gag order, but really weren't supposed to talk a whole lot after the announcement. There's supposed to be some time for things to settle out. And so I believe this week we'll start to see folks interviewing the directors at the Legends, at Pitt, to talk more about it. But in the meantime, we have been talking with others, as I mentioned, and there's kind of, I don't want to necessarily call it a consensus, but there does seem to be some similar opinions among large contingencies within the community that it is a good thing to have a big stage, a competition to highlight these divisions. For example, Justin Kotler from Underdogs Athletics, when we talked to him about it, he said that CrossFit just simply doesn't have the bandwidth to do every division justice, to do the justice that it deserves. And so having dedicated competitions for age groups and adaptives and make them the sole focus of that competition can be a big win there. And when we heard that from others, that Kotler was one that stood out to me. So that kind of exposure and just be at center, be kind of on center stage as opposed to a side stage or literally a field outside, aside from the stage, is a great, I think, a great opportunity. We talked with folks, Michelle LaTondra talked to us about on the teen side, how this can be an opportunity to help protect and groom teen athletes for long-term success. This could be an organized way of growing athletes into the sport, creating standards for youth divisions and working to avoid burnout, which we've seen with some big name teen athletes. So I thought that was a cool take and something that maybe I hadn't been considering. Another consensus kind of point that we saw was that for the games as a whole, for the individuals and the teams, this will allow potentially CrossFit to create a more agile, a more, I don't want to say necessarily more professional product, because the product has already been professional, but more storytelling opportunities for media and spectators by making the end of season competition smaller for the individuals and teams, or focusing just on the individuals and teams at the CrossFit Games, while allowing those same media outlets to do storytelling and highlight athletes in the other competitions at Legends, Pit, Wheelwad.
Yeah, I mean, just I am not in cahoots, and I have no say whatsoever in how the media flows in and around the CrossFit Games, but I also am excited for that potential opportunity, and I hope that I am personally given the opportunity, as well as the wonderful teams that I've been working with for the last decade in doing CrossFit media. I hope that we are all given the opportunity to speak more on more of the athletes, more of the teams, more of the backstories, more of the really cool personal, intimate moments that happen in and around competition and leading up to competition. Because I don't know, just as a fan of the sport, like, all that stuff is so interesting and exciting. And I do believe it lends the community element of what we're doing here. So the more that can fall in love with the sport and the storytelling aspect of it, the better.
I agree. It does sort of feel like this is step one of 200 steps to the kind of development that we're imagining and talking about, right? Mm-hmm. In order for this to pay off, there has to be those opportunities then for media, spectators, and brands and sponsors and things like that. And then media, spectators, brands, and sponsors all need to show up at these events and do that, do the exactly what we're talking about, the storytelling, the highlighting. If we're going to say we want to put these divisions, put a spotlight on them, then that spotlight has to be there.
Yeah, that's totally fair. And I would encourage you guys to go back and listen to the episode, the quick episode that John and I recorded when the news first came out, because I do personally, and I know John does too, think that this is overwhelmingly a positive step in the right direction. But there are questions to ask. There are critical questions that need to be answered in terms of how will it be pulled off, and can it be pulled off? Is there enough money? Are there enough eyeballs? Those are all like very legitimate questions. But if the answer is yes to all of that, then I think this has the potential to really elevate every different aspect of our sporting community, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Anything else in and around the games side of things?
There might be.
Ooh.
There might be.
What is it?
We are hearing some rumors of a possible title sponsor change for this year.
Okay. For this year?
For this, well, for,
well,
yeah,
for the 2024 games.
For the upcoming season.
Yeah.
Yeah. The rumor, and this is an unsubstantiated, unconfirmed rumor at the moment.
Is just the tea. That's all.
Just the tea. But we are hearing that GORUCK may step in as the title sponsor of the CrossFit Games.
Remind us, is Noble like officially done, or do they have one more year? Like, what is the deal there?
When the current title sponsorship deal was announced, it was announced to run through the end of calendar year 2023.
Okay.
So that is the end of this calendar year, which would mean that they're up for renewal or for a new contract with a new company, with a new sponsor.
Well, that's interesting. GORUCK is certainly a well-known and well-established brand that could bring a very different feel, like a very different vibe to being the title sponsor, and something that we haven't truly seen before in terms of sort of a, I don't know, the brand is just on a different level. I don't know if I would call them like an equipment brand. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They're much more military adjacent.
More tactical sort of gear. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they have a presence in a lot of other events in and around the CrossFit space that aren't just CrossFit. It would be very different than what we've seen in the past.
Yeah. I mean, so GORUCK has run its own events in the past, right? And there's a GORUCK division within High Rocks now.
Mm-hmm. Where I ran it. I did it. I won it. Let's just throw that out there. Hey.
Of course you did.
That was a surprise. In fairness, my doubles partner was a world champion. But hey, we went at my pace. Okay. So
there you go.
You know what
there
I mean?
There you go. GORUCK has been involved with the tactical games as well. So clearly a lot of overlap between these different kinds of functional fitness type events and CrossFit, obviously. And GORUCK has been developing its brand into apparel and footwear. Mm-hmm. I've heard really great things about the ballistic trainers.
Shoes, yeah.
So we'll see. Hopefully we'll know sooner rather than later about that, but we'll see.
All right. Very cool. Well, let's move away from the games mm-hmm. side of things. And
from rampant speculation and rumor mongering, right?
From all the best guesses to what else is happening sort of like in the competition scene, but outside of the CrossFit game season.
Yeah. So there's a few things going on just to catch up with. The Wodapalooza individual qualifier leaderboard was locked. The Wodapalooza team qualifier is going on now through October 23rd. Some interesting names on the individual leaderboard from the qualifier, including on the men's side, Austin Hatfield, who took first place. He's a CrossFit MAM athlete. Hmm. And he also won this weekend a competition that is run in South Carolina called the Crash Crucible. And he won the men's division there. Another standout name on this list of qualifiers is Alexander Caron, games athlete. And on the women's side, a good handful of well-known, I think, both semifinals level and games level athletes, including Rebecca Facilier, third place overall on the qualifier leaderboard, Grace Walton, Lexi Neely, Emily Rethwell, who we'll talk about in a minute again, but she was on the CrossFit Invictus Unconquerable team.
Yeah.
This past season, Freya Moosberger, also on the qualifier, in the qualifier, Jessica Androsik, multiple time semifinals athlete. So some really cool names there on the qualifier leaderboard.
So Joe, is Wodapalooza doing the thing this year where athletes can schedule it so that they can do both individual and teams of three?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Okay. Which was a really cool change they made last year. With the breaking down the competition, 2 days for individuals, 2 days for teams. Mm-hmm. And individuals were able to double dip. And many of them did last year, which was really fun and really cool.
I will say that everyone that I talked to who did both turned around at the end of the team competition and was like, oh, I am way more beat up than I thought I was going to be going into it. And I think we even had some withdrawals after day one on the team side of things from people from both side of things. And they were like, my body got two days, quote unquote, needs to be in air quotes because it's like 2 days.
Yeah, there we go.
Part one, part two, kind of long, swimmy endurance type thing. So,
sure.
Yeah. So, but I'm super excited to watch. That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, me too. And then we'll know more as the invited athletes are announced, and that'll flesh out the full leaderboard, and we'll be able to talk more about what's going on there. A leaderboard that is already fleshed out, although still some changes happening, is the Rogue Invitational.
Oh, still changes? Isn't it like basically tomorrow?
It is basically tomorrow. Last week, though, Alexis Raptis announced that she's been struggling with colitis, an autoimmune disease. And so the sixth place finisher at the games is out for Rogue, and Paige Semenza was backfilled for her position. Semenza took 18th at the CrossFit Games this year, and it'll be great to see her throw down. Yeah. And we wish all the best to Alexis as she works through with colitis and getting back on track.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. For the offseason. Down Under continues to make some fun announcements.
Fun.
Again, coming up just about six weeks out, I guess. We're about 6 weeks out. A couple of fun announcements on the team side. The California girls were announced. That's Danny Spiegel, Jesse Smith, and Emily Rethwell. So the two women from the Invictus Unconquerable team plus Danny Spiegel.
Fun.
And that's Jesse Smith is married to Chandler Smith.
Yep.
This is her second big offseason competition. She was at Madrid as well. Mm-hmm. Also on the men's side, a team featuring Noah Olson, Chandler Smith, and Tolomar Aquino, the hombres.
What a group. That will be so fun to watch. And I truly feel like when you look at those athletes and their strengths and weaknesses, maybe they might balance each other really, really well.
I was going to say might be a little bit on the strength biased side, but oh man, what a fun team. What an explosive, exciting team to watch. Mm-hmm. We talked about the Australian men's team being led by Jay Crouch. It's going to be fun to watch these guys throw down against one another on the team side.
Mm-hmm.
On the individual side, Annika Greer and Maddie Sturt were also announced as individual women competing this year. And I think there's still going to be a few more announcements coming. One more, actually, Dubai. Dubai has started to announce their roster. Right, Dubai went full invitational this year, so only invited athletes. And we'll hold off on talking about that leaderboard for now, but we'll come back as they release more. I think they announced maybe two or three men and two or three women last week, but we're expecting more this week. And as that develops, that competition is in later in December. And so we'll have time to talk about it between now and then.
Nice. All right, cool. Well, there's a lot going on in the sport side of things and the competition side of things, but let's shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit more about what's happening in the affiliates and the communities and in the overall CrossFit industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about a couple of things. Whoop made a cool announcement last week that they have now released or will feature something called the AI Coach, or the Whoop AI Coach, which is powered by OpenAI, the same software that powers ChatGPT, which we've probably all heard of at this point. What the AI Coach will do is you can ask questions in the Whoop app about your sleep, recovery, performance. You can say, hey, why am I so tired lately? Or why is my HRV number off? And based on your data that Whoop has collected, the AI will answer your question for you in a way that makes sense.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. It seems like it's the kind of thing that if you were well-versed enough in analyzing the data that it's collecting on you, that you could probably answer a lot of these questions yourself, but without that expertise, being able to just type it into the AI and say, hey, why have I been sucking so bad at CrossFit lately?
Truly, truly. Or just even having another level of data interpretation, like you said, like part of why I never really fell in love with wearing a Whoop religiously is because I didn't fully comprehend the data that was coming back on my dashboard. Like I'd see the numbers and I didn't really understand what it all meant. And I don't personally have the patience to be like, okay, let me analyze. But if I had a way to be like, wait, what is this? And what hour does it technically count my sleep until? And why did it not understand? That would have been really helpful. So I can understand how sometimes Whoop data is like drinking from a fire hose, right? And you might need help understanding all of it. I like that they provide all of it, but you might need help understanding it. So that's cool. That's a very cool way to use that tool.
Yeah, I'm like you. I've used Whoop for quite a while, and I always felt like there was maybe a disconnect between the elite level athletes who are using it and like me, where I found the data interesting, but actually sort of being able to utilize it in a really effective way to change how I would train or rest or recover was really, I think it was a kind of a learning curve. I think there's kind of a learning curve there. And this AI option or this AI feature, I think maybe will help to get people over that learning curve more easily.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Get on your Whoop.
Well, a couple of just quick hitters here on the affiliate side, and then we can wrap it up for today. On our first episode, Nikki, I don't know if you remember, we talked about a CrossFit affiliate, a nonprofit affiliate in a high school in Idaho called Vision CrossFit.
Yeah, for sure.
And it was being run by a biology teacher who found CrossFit, fell in love, got his L1. His name is Jason George. This school is in Caldwell, Idaho. And after working with his school administration, he was able to set up Vision CrossFit located in their school, 100% on donations. They offer CrossFit instead of traditional PE classes. The program's so popular that there's a waiting list. Well, what we found out last week as it was published was there was an academic study published out of Kansas State that shed light on the effectiveness of the CrossFit program at Vision Charter School. Oh. And so they used it as an example, a real world example of offering CrossFit versus traditional PE classes. They focused on movement proficiency and general fitness. And I think we could all guess what the results here were, but CrossFit was highly effective in developing movement proficiency and general overall fitness of students in the high school setting.
Of course. Amazing. Joe, is there a link to that actual study somewhere in the Morning Chalk Up article?
There is. If you go to the story on the study itself, the link to the study is there, as well as a link to the original story we wrote about Vision CrossFit, so you can learn all about the great work that they're doing there.
That's awesome. I just call that out because I think if you're listening to this and you are an educator or you know an educator who might be interested in starting up this type of a program within their school district, that study might be the kind of proof or the kind of like academic proof they need.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a great idea.
Yeah. To help them really sort of like back up the idea, back up their, what's the word I'm looking for? Proposal.
Yeah. No, that's a great idea. CrossFit offers either reduced or free affiliate fees for affiliates in high schools and university settings. There's a list of somewhere in the 30 to 50 range of clubs and affiliates in educational settings around the world, but primarily in the United States. It's really cool. We're working on a story right now highlighting some of those college clubs and affiliates on university campuses.
Oh, that's awesome. So educators, take note. There are resources out there for you if this is something that you want to do in your school.
One last fun one here. And we've been getting so many folks writing into us about this very similar thing. And we've published a few stories, but one was from CrossFit Mayhem. This one comes from CrossFit Fort Vancouver. 16 members, including Justin Medeiros and Ellie Turner and Trista Smith's coach, Adam Neifer, finished a marathon using CrossFit as their training. And I say finished, but Neifer ran a 3 hour and 24 minute marathon. The fastest runner in their group ran a 3 hour, 16 minute marathon. Anytime you're around that 3 hour mark, I feel like, and you're not a devoted distance runner where that's not your, like, your whole thing. That's some fitness. That's some real fitness there.
Go ahead. Well, two things. First of all, let's not forget that Adam Neifer is one of the most decorated CrossFit athletes of all time. Just going to throw that out there. People tend to forget.
He's got some fitness.
Yeah, he's got some fitness. He's a team athlete for forever, turned coach. And so let's remember his legacy, which is insane. And then also not at all that level of fitness, but I also ran a marathon one time back in the day in 2017, also using CrossFit as my primary, but I still did long runs and all that stupid stuff on the weekends. So not 3:24, more like 4:45, but still it got done. And you know what I think was cool? I didn't lose any strength during that time period because I didn't stop. I think that's what was coolest.
Yeah, no, that is super cool. I mean, we've been getting folks marathons, triathlons, ultra marathons, ultra trail marathons, people writing into us. Obviously, you've got to get some miles in. As you said, you've got to do the long runs. You've got to get some miles on your legs. But all of these folks who are writing into us are using CrossFit as their primary training protocol. They're doing CrossFit 4 or 5 days a week, and then they're doing 2 to 3 days of running or other training. And that's not only providing enough of a cushion for them to be able to, or enough of a base of fitness for them to be able to finish, but to finish with some pretty good times.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah.
Well, good for them. And good for them for just honestly dedicating the mental fortitude and the time. Marathon training,
yeah,
I think
sure.
more of us would do it if it didn't necessarily take up so much time. So congratulations to them, and good job to everyone working toward a goal like that. Joe, thank you so much for coming and chatting through all of these wonderful headlines. If you guys want to read more, get more details, please check out the Morning Chalk Up for these stories and many more. Joe and I will be back next week for another edition of the Weekly Buzz. And for everyone listening, thank you guys so much, and we will chat with you soon.